Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that time of worship and song. What a blessing, the worship team and the songs they select for us to worship and praise the Lord and to celebrate Him. Just in reflecting on these moments and hearing about how the Lord is above the waters. And there's a sense that life can be difficult, hard, and it's almost like the troubles of life can almost go above you. But we have a God, and through Jesus Christ, who walks on those waters, who can control the wind and the rain, and who can lift us up. And we thank God for Jesus Christ, His Son. So it says His name. Let's pray now and invite Him into this time that we be encouraged and strengthened, and we hear from His Word. Father, You are good and do good. You alone are eternal, immortal, invisible, all righteous, all powerful, infinitely holy. You have wrath, but we praise God that You have mercy. And so in light of that, would You lead and guide us into this time where we read from Your Word and reflect upon it. May Your Spirit feed Your children, and may the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up. God's people said amen. It is a delight to see what God is doing here. We saw the report about volunteers, and so really wonderful to hear about more and even the opportunity to snuggle babies. So we praise God for that. Let's thank the Lord for that. And we welcome and celebrate the raising up of leaders here, and most notably your incoming pastor who will be here shortly, Pastor Trevor. So let's thank the Lord for him. Yeah. And you as a church family are on that journey as well, and your contribution in time, talents, treasure, volunteering, being an usher or being someone who gives out food at the pantry, just now more than ever, Christians were called to be salt and light. And you, for someone in this community, are going to represent Jesus. And that makes all the world a difference. Maybe that was the message for this morning before getting into this. So I hope you continue and you take that seriously. On a personal note, so grateful for the love and kindness shown to me, my family, my wife, my children. The gifts we received at Christmas has been so huge. It warms my heart. And so I'm just grateful this morning. I just want you to hear that and excited for what God has in store for CBC. We'll have a number of verses that we're going to look at with the covenants of God. And today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be between chapter 6 and chapter 9, and a brief reference to other areas of Scripture, because Noah is mentioned in the New Testament as well. Peter says this by the Holy Spirit, and this is a note that the men don't have this one, but just in reflecting before coming up here, it says this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 4 says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment," those little fallen angels, and that we'll get into that in Genesis 6, "and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness," or you may say a righteous preacher, "with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." And it goes on, this other examples of Sodom and Gomorrah and destruction. But then he says this, verse 7, "And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by a sensual conduct, unprincipled men," and then he goes down, verse 9, "then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." So we have a God who's able to save us from destruction and save us from eternal destruction through Jesus Christ. This past week with the fires, a number of you know that there have been quite thousands of people have been displaced. And there are times where nature seems out of control. I grew up on the East Coast, and I remember certain times in the winter we get snow. And as a kid, you know, you love snow because you go out and play. And you get a little older, and mom and dad says, pick up a shovel, and you have to shovel out the driveway for pops to go to work at 5 in the morning. But anyway, but there were times where we would get these blizzard-like conditions. I mean, snow, like, I mean, upwards of 4 or 5 feet. And then it wasn't so funny. And then what you had in your house was that you're going to eat till you're able to get to the local 5 and 9 or whatever. But there are these moments, not unlike these fires, where we begin to discover that there's power at work beyond us. And these are hints that we have a creator who's over us. And it humbles us. Because as we'll read about the flood affected all humanity. All the distinctions of man made, young, old, rich, poor, different color, all that, when the blizzards would hit, it hit us all. When these fires hit, it hit us all. And we read the story about the flood, it hit literally everyone. And there is a sense that we as human beings sometimes don't live with a healthy fear of God. And I'm not here to bring you down. Let me parse that a bit. When the Bible speaks about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, this is not the kind of slavish fear of running from an evil tyrant. There's a sense of awe and respect. Like, I don't really know who I'm dealing with here. Like awe and respect of who he is. And he says, I will be regarded as holy by those who approach him. So the flood account is a very fascinating story. Bear with me. In America and around the world, people love stories. Star Wars, galaxy far, far away, long time ago. And we have these sagas and stories. We have modern day myths. But one of the most fascinating things about the flood, which we're going to get into, bear with me, I know this is a long introduction, is that literally there are ancient cultures around the world that share a flood story. The Mesopotamians talk about a flood in the Epic of Gilgamesh. The Greeks talk about the flood. The Vikings talk about the flood. The Indians talk about the flood. All these cultures thousands of years ago record that, you know, there was a time where all the waters were above the earth and flooded us out. Now, I'm not here promoting polytheism or different religions because I'm a Christian and praise the Lord with you, but I'm saying this to say that God is not to be played with. And so, if you write notes, you might want to have some headings. We're going to be in Genesis. We'll look at the curse. We'll look at the chaos. And we'll look at the covenant. And a covenant, the covenants of God are God's sacred agreements that he binds on his character. Like the promises of God are yes and amen. And one of the most earliest covenants is the Noahic or the covenant with Noah. We'll say it like that. So, Genesis chapter 3, and this is also, my apologies, maybe not on the screen, but I mentioned this, excuse me, Genesis chapter 5, 28 through 31 says this, Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, look at this, Noah's name, this one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. You see that? So he's referencing back when Adam and Eve sinned against God, our foreparents, and one of the curses that God says, because y'all did this, cursed is the ground. So if anyone wanted to know when the global warming start, started then. So, because when Adam and Eve, and you can read this for yourself, Genesis 3, when they were in the garden, until they sinned against God, Genesis 1, 2, fruit in abundance, fruit trees, nature was in harmony, the world was beautiful because it was without sin. But when they rebelled against their creator, and we are part of all of humanity in Adam, the ground became cursed. So you see this yearning for going back to that blessed state. So Noah's father, Lamech, name him Noah, because maybe this is the one who'll give us rest from the work and toil of our hands arising from the ground. Before the curse, if Adam went to plant something, it grew. He walked around, he had no sciatica. Anybody even had sciatica here? There's fire that happens, right? You know, I went from being able to slam dunk to now I'm like, ooh, you know. So in humanity, we bear the marks of sin. It affects us in those ways. And so even the toiling from the ground, who here gets up to go to work in the morning? And so this is what humanity, not the work part, but that there's not a blessedness that comes completely without the effects of sin. So then Lamech lived 595 years, and he became the father of Noah, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 770 years, and he died. You'll notice in Genesis 5 that you'll see the names. Seth was born, and men called on God, then he died. Enoch was born. The Lord took him because he walked with God. Enoch's the only one that got the early out, which is a blessing. He literally walked with God, dedicated to God, and one day, poof, gone. But the common refrain in Genesis 5 is so-and-so lived, then he died. So-and-so lived, then he died. So-and-so lived. We are seeing the effects of that curse. I'm going to move on from this in a minute, but just trying to give you the picture of the times in which Noah lived and the effects of sin on the earth. So let's move from the curse to the chaos. Chapter 6, which is part of our main reading. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and the daughters were born to them, that sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves whom they chose. Now, this is a mysterious thing, the sons of God, who they are. A little while ago, I read from 2 Peter, and it talked about these angels that stepped out of their appropriate domain. They got out of their lane of being angelic beings. I believe, and a lot of ink spilled on this debate, that these are fallen angels, sons of God. And they have cohabitated with women of men. And it goes on. And were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves whom they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, there it is again, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So the effects of sin on humanity included this state of chaos where you have demonic influence in the world. Now, that's kind of a grim saying. But reflect with me, if you will. When man lived in the presence of God, he lived hundreds of years. We don't know how long Adam and Eve maybe were alive before they ate the fruit. They lived long. They didn't have the effects. If I can get in a time machine, I think back when it was a time where I ran track, did hurdles, high jump. I look at that stuff now, I'm like, who was this guy? But my body bears the same effects that affected them that And so you notice that the life expectancy drops in Genesis. Did y'all catch that? So-and-so lifts this time. And now the chaos of this, God puts a cap on it. He says men will live up to 120 years. And there are a few God gives extra grace to go past it, but generally we don't hear about 200-year-old people in this world. Think about that. The story of the Bible is amazing because this is the Creator speaking to us. And he tells us the truth. Science, archaeology, and the world itself has these little signposts to let you know that, yeah, this is real. And so these angels were out of line, and through their union, this Nephilim group became upon the earth. And when you see that word Nephilim, that could be translated the fallen ones. Some say the fallen ones as it relates to the demonic element, angels that fell, or they're a part of that progeny, or the falling ones, like a host of world leaders and conquerors. To fall on someone means to slay them. And this is not in a dutiful way, the way those who honorably serve our country, which I have respect for. But history will note men like Nimrod. Does that name sound familiar? Some say he was a part of those fallen ones. I'm nerding out here, so y'all pray for me. But when you read ancient history, there were conquerors on a scale that would make Hitler blush. And I say that respectfully. So this is the landscape and the chaos that Noah is living in. And in these verses, look at what is said here. Y'all okay with me? Y'all all right? Let's keep going. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then here's the sad commentary. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And that's an anthropomorphic way of giving an example of God. Not that God is men like us, but that he has purest of feelings, that it actually grieved God, the state of mankind. I want you to note that God is speaking to us through this scripture, and even speaking to us today as to how we ought to look and treat one another in the sight of God. Can you hear that? And when I read that text of scripture where it says every thought, every intention was only evil, that's a tough verdict. Now, to lighten it up a little bit, and not to be facetious or anything, could you imagine if you came in this morning and on that screen here and one in the back by Joe, everything you thought this morning was put up there? Not what you did, what you thought. Talk to me. How would you feel? Embarrassed. We got an honest man. Me too, right? And, oh boy. And so God looks out on humanity at this time and says, you know, I'm grieved. Some years ago, I know a number of you know I went to Master's Seminary, which I'm grateful for, Pastor John MacArthur. I also have had times of fellowship with the folks at Church on the Way with Dr. Jack Hafer, God rest his soul. Very kind Christian man who I believe served the Lord in his time. Not getting into the debates and all that stuff, but Pentecostal and baptism. But I'll never forget this one time. He was visiting people. You know how I have this mic system here going? He had it on, and he was out just greeting people and talking to them. And then when he would leave, he'd say, oh, Lord, I'll ask you to bless so-and-so. And he's, like, praying for people, walking around, and he doesn't know that his mic is hot. And so when he came back in the service, because he had stepped out for a moment and then came back, everybody started clapping for him. And they're like, woo, you know. And that's not to deify him or anything, but the thoughts and intents of his heart was to show the love of God to people, and he didn't even know that he was being listened to like that. And so that's a positive. In this story, that's not what's happened at all. Take that and pray about that. Let's keep going. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created, from the face of the land, from man to the animals, to the creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. This is chapter 6, verse 7. But look at this. But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. We just sang, your grace is enough. So over a whole of that landscape of evil and violence and all these things. In fact, when they asked Jesus, what will the last days be like? You know what Jesus said? The last days will be like the days of, see where we're headed? So this has relevance that the heart and intent of people is so turned away. And by the way, when it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, did Noah earn that? No. I see. No, Noah needed grace too. And if you know the story, after the flood, you see a part of Noah's challenges because he's like, you know, I think it's Miller time. Yeah. Just to lighten it up. I'm from the neighborhood, Pabst Blue Ribbon or something. This has been a rough one. Been on this ark with these folks, my wife and kids. I'm through, you know. And so you may ask the question, why does God use such broken and flawed people? Because that's all he has to work with. You can point up here if you want, and I'll receive that. But this shows you the beauty of God. This is a bit topical today. Bear with me. 2 Peter says that Noah was a righteous preacher. There's so much that I can't read this all. So while he's building this ark, what is he doing? He's preaching. It's gonna. And so if he's telling them it's gonna rain and it takes some years for it to be built, the people had time to repent, time to listen, time to turn to God, time. And people have it today, but we don't know how much time they have. If you don't remember anything about Charles, just say he pointed me to Jesus while I had time. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God, kind of like Enoch, right? Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was, look at this, filled with. Do we have that going on? God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. And then he gives the lengths and the directions and so forth. And I can't, because of time, I won't read through all of this. But if you jump down to verse 22, let's see how Noah walks by faith. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Noah had faith in God. And it showed up with his obedience. Well, you can read for yourself the ark, the dimensions, the diameters. You can research also these stories of the flood myths that are all around the world. A part of our time today is looking at the covenants of God. The covenants of God. Because the rain did come. And all the flesh of human beings and of animals, everything that was not in the ark perished. Chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Also the fountains of the deep," what is that? "And the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained, and the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. In the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month," look at how precise God is describing when and where and how. Even the timing. "The ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat." For my Armenian brothers and sisters, that's where it was noted to be. And they still hold to that to this day. "The water decreased steadily until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible." Ah, there's so much there. Can you imagine water so high that it covers Mount Everest? Could you imagine? We have mountains here in California. We just kind of drive by all this stuff. How were these things shaped? My wife's family is from Arizona, and you know you have the Grand Canyon. How did it become grand? We take sometimes pseudoscience views that it's all by gradual movement of the earth by thousands of years and millions of years. All that. And granted, I'm a younger earth person, so I won't get too much into that. But this flood happened, and a part of the shaping was water moving the earth and cleansing the earth, and God brought judgment. And yet God remembered Noah, chapter 8. He remembered them. He remembered those animals. And I may sound like someone from Greenpeace here or something. You know, God cares about animal life too. He's not putting it above humanity, but his world is just that. It's his world. There's that hymn, "This is my Father's world." And so we see that when sin entered the world, it affected everything. Even my pet dog, Puppy, at home. I call him Puppy. But God remembered them, and he subsided the flood. And then eventually they were able to come out of the ark. Verse 20 of chapter 8, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. The Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground,'" look at that, "'on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" So no more worldwide floods. Fire next time. Verse 22, "While the earth," think about that, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." Has God kept that promise? Every season? And as we're reflecting on this, may it cause us to trust him more. And to this thing of the covenant, if you're one who writes notes, the covenant with Noah, we're looking at the sign of the rainbow, the command to be fruitful and multiply, the sanctity of life, and the prohibition of murder. And then lastly, dominion over the animals. Let's look at them each. Chapter 9, verse 1. "God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird.'" And then he goes on, look at the sign of the rainbow as we read up to it. "And every bird of the sky with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea into your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you." Amen. "I give all to you as I have gave the green plant, only you shall not eat flesh with its life," that is, its blood. Notice that. "Surely I will require your lifeblood from every beast. I will require it, and from every man and from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. As for you, be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons and with him saying, look at this. Now behold, I myself, God's repeating himself, he's emphasizing himself. I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you. Wait a minute, he's establishing a covenant with living creatures? He goes on, the birds, the cattle, and the earth, every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. Look at this. God said, this is the sign of the covenant, which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. Never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all the earth. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it and to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Amen. God keeps all of his promises. And part of the Noahic covenant is the promise that it will never again be a judgment on the earth for the flood. Amen. And every time you look at the rainbow in the sky, I mean, that's a fascinating thing all of itself. Literally, all of humanity around the world says can see that and say God is keeping his promise. Somewhere, someone is looking up at a rainbow right now and hope they can recognize that this is God speaking to them and to us. I read some things earlier that we can camp out on for hours, but there was a time where underground reservoirs of water were broken up, called the fountains of the deep, and water was like a geyser springing up. And then it gives us powerful word saying the floodgates of heaven, like there was a supernatural precipitation that God, I mean, if you've ever been in a rainstorm or a monsoon or something like that, there's times where water can fall so much it will scare you. So you have the floodgates. So you got the fountains of the deep, the floodgates of heaven, and the breaking loose of water all around the earth. And this is what Noah and the people were experiencing. An awesome, all-powerful God letting loose. After that, God says, I'm not going to do that anymore. Amen. And if you've ever had a painful experience in your life, and the good Lord brings you out of it and maybe rescues you and says, you know what, that's never going to happen again. Have you ever had moments where you're like, thank you, God, for saving me? And so this is the promise. You see the rainbow. But notice that God, who has not given up on humanity, gives them the command they had from the beginning to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. So the covenant includes a restarting of mankind. There's a sense that they're called back to be blessed of him, to have families and increase in number and go into the earth and to subdue it. In this room, there are so many different gifts, talents, abilities. Some of you have technical skills with your hands. Some of you are leaders. Some of you have served in law enforcement, military. God has gifted us in so many ways so that when we walk through that door, wherever you go, if you're in Christ, you're a representative of the kingdom, and your efforts can be multiplied wherever you are. And so this creation command is still at work, and the covenant includes that. The covenant also includes the sacredness of life itself. Why is this important to go through? My father, who passed in 92, loved him dearly. I can meet with friends of the family who knew him, and they'll say, yeah, I knew your father, and your father used to say this, 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 and we laugh, we have a good time. And if they knew my dad, I'd be like, yeah, that's Pops. Yes, you're speaking about his values, how he cares for people, and what's important to him. God is saying that human life is important. So much so that he puts this requirement that even when you eat food, this aspect of the blood is not to be a part of your regular diet or diet at all. Let me just say it that way. The prohibition. Let me also say, if you read in the New Testament, and this is a little bit of a topical, Romans chapter 3 says that all authorities and governance are established by God, and they bear the sword. So there are people who are authorized by God for the stability of society, of governments, that sometimes they bear the sword, and that includes taking people out to keep peace in the world. So I don't want you, sometimes people think the Bible contradicts itself. It doesn't. So I have friends and family who serve in those capacities. A nephew I've raised who's serving right now. So he's doing what God's called him to do. That is different from murder. To be clear, the heart of God says no more of that violence. These were the things that brought no more of taking of life, of any life. Amen? And then lastly, this thing of the dominion over the animals. In this covenant with Noah, God has given them the authority that the very beasts and animals of the world will be fearful and will follow. Now, I don't recommend it, but if you've seen lion tamers, and sometimes people will even swim with sharks and all that, and it's amazing that you see elements of God's power then, that even those creatures that can literally take somebody out, they're fearful. So, as I come to a close, we serve a God who keeps his promises. We serve a God who is holy. We serve a God, praise God, that is full of grace. We serve a God who has given us some instructions, so that as we move towards those times like the days of Noah, may our heart beat the way God's heart beats. May we find grace in the eyes of the Lord the way Noah did. And may we trust and believe that all of his promises are yes and amen, and he's able to rescue those who are in trouble. Let's pray. Our God and our Savior, thank you for the story of the flood. It is an awesome thing to think that there were waves and water above the mountains at one time. But you showed grace and favor to a man named Noah, and you gave him the task to be a righteous preacher. And though only his family heard that message, and though only his family and the animals responded, you still made a covenant. And we are benefiting from that today. So to you, Jesus, the one who brings a new covenant, grant us to have your grace in times like this. Use us for the saving of souls and the blessings on the lives of people. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you.